Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Write a Thesis is a practical and reflective academic writing handbook by Umberto Eco, first published in Italian in 1977 and later issued in English by MIT Press. Written for students facing a major university thesis, especially in the humanities and social sciences, it explains how to choose a topic, conduct research, organize sources, take notes, structure arguments, and prepare a finished manuscript. The book belongs to the genre of academic writing manuals. But it differs from many technical guides because Eco treats the thesis as both a scholarly exercise and an intellectual apprenticeship. Some of its references to typewriters, library catalogs, and index cards reflect a pre-digital academic world, yet the underlying principles remain relevant. Eco is less concerned with formatting rules than with how students learn to think rigorously, define a manageable research problem, respect sources, and produce a sustained written argument. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, selecting a thesis topic that is narrow enough to research and broad enough to matter. Eco gives sustained attention to the first strategic decision in thesis writing, choosing the subject. His central warning is against topics that are too expansive, because a vague subject prevents the student from knowing what evidence is needed, what questions are answerable, and when the project is complete. A title such as a whole national literature, a major historical era, or a vast philosophical tradition may sound impressive, but it usually produces superficial summary rather than research. Eco advises students to reduce the scope until the problem can be handled with available time, language skills, sources, and supervision. This does not mean choosing a trivial subject. A narrow topic can have intellectual significance if it is connected to a clear question and a body of evidence. The reasoning is practical. A thesis is not a display of total knowledge, but proof that the student can define a problem, investigate it methodically, and contribute something controlled. Eco also recognizes personal interest as a real factor. Since thesis work requires months or years of attention, a topic imposed without curiosity can weaken persistence and judgment. Secondly, treating academic research as a method, not as a pile of information. A distinctive feature of the book is Eco's insistence that a thesis is not merely a long paper assembled from existing books. It is a demonstration of method. For Eco, research becomes scholarly when it asks a defined question, identifies relevant sources, explains its procedure, and allows others to verify how conclusions were reached. This principle matters especially in fields where students may wrongly assume that only laboratory or quantitative work counts as scientific. Eco argues that historical, literary, philosophical, and social research can also be rigorous if it follows transparent rules of evidence and reasoning. The student must distinguish between collecting material and constructing an argument. A bibliography, a set of quotations, or a folder of notes has little value until it is organized by a problem and tested against sources. This view also explains why Eco treats the thesis as training beyond the university requirement. The student learns how to formulate a question, separate evidence from opinion, and present conclusions in a way that can be examined by others. The skill is transferable to many forms of professional analysis and writing. Thirdly, using sources ethically through bibliography, citation, and quotation discipline. Eco devotes careful attention to the machinery of scholarly writing: bibliographies, citations, quotations, and the distinction between primary and secondary sources. These details are not treated as bureaucratic decoration. They are part of the ethical and intellectual structure of the thesis. Correct citation allows readers to trace claims, evaluate evidence, and distinguish the student's contribution from borrowed material. Eco emphasizes that secondary sources must be used with judgment. They can clarify context, identify debates, and guide research, but they should not replace direct engagement with primary materials when those materials are central to the topic. His advice on quotation is similarly practical. Quoting too little can make an argument unsupported, while quoting too much can conceal the absence of analysis. The student must know why a passage is being cited and how it advances the claim, although citation software and digital databases have changed the tools available to researchers. Eco's underlying point remains: current scholarly credibility depends on making intellectual debts visible. The apparatus of notes and references is therefore not separate from argument. It is how the argument becomes accountable. Fourthly, building a note system that turns reading into usable knowledge. One of the most remembered parts of the book is Eco's discussion of note-taking, especially his recommendation of organized index cards. The specific medium is dated, but the method is not. Eco separates the act of reading from the later act of writing by creating a system in which quotations, summaries, bibliographic details, questions, and emerging ideas can be retrieved and recombined. This matters because a thesis usually involves more material than memory can reliably manage. Without a system, Students repeatedly lose references, confuse sources, or collect impressive passages that never become part of an argument. ECO's card-based method encourages slow processing. Each note must identify its source, its relevance, and its possible connection to the research problem. In modern terms, the same logic can be applied to reference managers, databases, spreadsheets, or note applications. The important point is conceptual rather than nostalgic. A note system should not simply store information. It should support comparison, classification, and synthesis. ECO shows that research productivity comes from designing a workflow in which evidence remains traceable and ideas remain movable. Lastly, writing the thesis as a serious intellectual apprenticeship rather than a formal obstacle, ECO repeatedly frames the thesis as more than a graduation requirement. He sees it as the student's first sustained exercise in disciplined authorship. This perspective affects his advice on tone, structure, perseverance, and relationship to the work. If the thesis is approached as an empty ritual, the student is likely to cut corners, imitate existing arguments, or produce a text with no real research question. If it is treated as a demanding apprenticeship, the same task becomes a way to learn how to manage uncertainty, revise judgments, and write for a reader who expects evidence. ECO's humor and directness support this serious point. He does not romanticize the process. Thesis writing is slow, frustrating, and shaped by institutional constraints. Yet he argues that the discipline of completing it has lasting value. The finished document may not become a major scholarly contribution, but the habits acquired during the process can matter in later research. Teaching, journalism, publishing, law, administration, or any field requiring complex written work. The thesis is therefore useful not only for its subject matter but for the intellectual behavior it trains. In conclusion, how to write a thesis is best suited to students beginning a substantial research project, particularly in the humanities and social sciences. But it is also useful for early career researchers, independent scholars, and writers who need to organize complex material over time. Readers looking for current software tutorials, institutional formatting templates, or discipline-specific citation rules will need other resources alongside it. Its value lies elsewhere. It explains the logic behind good academic work. ECO shows why a topic must be limited, why sources must be handled transparently, why notes must be organized before drafting, and why a thesis should be treated as a genuine inquiry rather than a procedural burden. Compared with many writing manuals, the book stands out because it combines practical instruction with a broader account of scholarly formation. It is not only a checklist for producing a manuscript, it is a guide to becoming the kind of reader and writer who can sustain an argument responsibly. Its pre-digital examples require adaptation, but that limitation can also clarify the book's strength. ECO focuses on the durable habits beneath changing tools: curiosity, method, evidence, accountability, and revision. For that reason, the book remains a distinctive and useful classic in academic writing. If you would like to support Umberto Eco, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.